WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A hearing set for today in the deportation case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a national mistakenly flown to a prison in El Salvador. Despite the Supreme Court ordering the Trump administration to facilitate his return to the U.S., President Trump and his Attorney General Pam Bondi deferring to El Salvador's president, who refuses to release him. ABC's Terry Moran has more.
In the Oval Office, the president of El Salvador made clear he's got no plans to send Abrego Garcia back to the U.S.
How can I return him to the United States? Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or what do I do? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, the question is preposterous.
The Democratic leader of the House calling on the courts to use judicial powers to pressure the administration.
Indiana and Idaho, among states who are announcing they'll ban food stamps from being used to buy sugary drinks and candy. The deadline to file your taxes, midnight tonight. It comes as tax officials estimate millions of Americans have yet to finalize their returns. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has called for increasing the special education rate and expanding mental health training programs available to Wisconsin schools as part of the 2025-27 biennial budget. The message comes as the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction published a report on the use of seclusion and physical restraint in schools during the 2023-24 school year, showing an increase in the practices. The data reported to the DPI by school district shows a 15.3% increase in incidents where seclusion was used on students and an increase of 16.9% in incidents where physical restraint was used on students compared to the prior school year. Statewide schools reported 6,222 instances of seclusion and 7,439 instances where physical restraint was used. In her 2025-27 biennial budget request, Dr. Underley called for increasing the special education reimbursement rate, which hovers around 30%. Building off her recommendation, Governor Tony Evers proposed increasing the rate to 60%, which allows schools to invest more in hiring specialized staff, create more inclusive learning environments, and offer more professional development for staff. Dr. Underley also requested $760,000 over the biennium to increase and improve support for existing mental health training programs available to schools, including the Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, and to make it available for staff working in out-of-school time programs. The proposal seeks to expand the types of trainings offered beyond the three specific program strategies authorized under current law. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Tigers trounce on Alexander. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Tigers 9-1. It was pitcher Tyler Alexander's second start for the crew, giving up 8 runs and 6 walks in just 4 innings.
You know, I thought I made some good pitches. I thought I made some bad pitches that they hit. You know, it seemed as though they eliminated in, especially cutters in, and as a result, I didn't really execute down or away very well.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I think Alexander, you know, the numbers don't look pretty for him, but this kid has sucked it up for us and taken on a role that's not normal to him. And Alvin Rodriguez came in and did a great job himself. A little different time to pitch when you're already down 9-0, but no discredit to Alvin. He did great. Should have been about a 3-0 game, and credit to Detroit the way they swing it.
NBA, the Bucks holding practice, getting ready to head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers Saturday in game one of their best-of-7 playoff series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With more and more sunshine today and breezy winds still whipping us out of the northwest, gusting around 35 miles per hour, high temperatures still stay mild in the mid-50s. With a high-pressure system settling in tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny, calm, and comfortable with highs at about 60. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Earl Ingram.
This Wednesday on the Earl Ingram Show, the lead-free crew returns to share the latest updates, followed by Dr. Robert Craig in the second hour to review the week's events.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zummers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour, 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program on Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. We are downtown Madison, Wisconsin, at the world headquarters. Beautiful, partly sunny day, Mr. Zummers. I'm very excited about this hour and about our next guest. You know,
well,
that.
Me too.
I know. Very, very excited indeed. Coming up a little bit later this hour, a What's Worse edition for you, your chance to call in and voice your concerns on the nonsensical. But right now we have serious business to do and also some fun as well. He has been on our program before when he was kind enough to be our host in beautiful Viroqua, Wisconsin. Back for me, back in the home part of the state of the Driftless area, the CEO and president of Wonder State Coffee, which is the 2025 Roaster of the Year, Mr. TJ Samanchin, joins us via StreamYard. TJ, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How you doing, Todd?
I am fantastic because for those watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, people know how much I enjoy Wonder State Coffee. And look what they got me for my birthday this year. A beautiful mug here with the Wonder State logo on it. It is filled with Agua Blanca from Colombia. That's one of my favorites. I buy that a lot. And then this is a love-hate thing, TJ, because their cafe on the square, they sell these amazing, addictive crack. No, it's not crack. It is the salted chocolate chunk cookie, which I cannot get enough of.
Wow. You're getting the full effect there in the studio. That's great.
It really is. So thank you for gearing me up and get me ready for the show today. Let's just start off a little bit. For those that might not have heard our previous shows, tell us a little bit about Wonder State Coffee, how it came about, and where it's located.
Yeah. So we are on our 20th year here in Viroqua. So as you mentioned, we're right in the heart of the Driftless region, close to your hometown. Mm-hmm. And for our first 10 years in business, we were just a wholesale roastery. So we import coffee from around the world, from Africa, Central and South America, directly from small farmers. We're really rooted in supporting farmers. That's at the core of our mission. And the other side of our mission is providing extremely high quality coffee. So that's what we've been doing since 2005. And then in 2015, we opened our first retail location, our first cafe. And we now have three cafes, one right on the Capitol Square in Madison, our flagship store. And then we have one here in our hometown of Viroqua and one up on the shores of Lake Superior in Bayfield, beautiful Bayfield. So we have three cafes now around the state. We sell online. We sell to local and national chains in the upper Midwest. We sell to independent coffee shops. We have some corporate campuses around Madison, some of the larger corporate campuses where the employees can enjoy our coffee at work. So yeah, we're around the state, around the upper Midwest, and then we sell quite a bit on our website nationally as well.
Yeah, and one of the great things I love about Wonder State is your respect for the farmer. And, you know, I had a stint in coffee. I was honored to have friends in El Salvador. And I talked about that last segment, more the political term. I never thought that my knowledge of El Salvador and the politics of El Salvador would come into play on a show like this, but it has. That's where we're at. But I spent a lot of time there, and, you know, I was very fortunate because TJ knows this, but if you're in the coffee industry, they talk about, oh, you know, someday you'll get to go to origin, meaning where the coffee is grown. And I was kind of fortunate enough to start my coffee experience there and learn from it. Talk a little bit about at Wonder State Coffee, what that means. Do you visit and talk with farmers and that relationship and why that matters?
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of got my start in coffee a similar way. I was living in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
And so I was studying issues around sustainable development, and just rural issues in Latin America. Mm. And so I was just living in the coffee lands and got to see firsthand the model of a small farmer coffee cooperative. The town I lived in, there was in Atenas, Costa Rica, there was Coop Atenas, which was a coffee farmer cooperative. And so this was, you know, small farmers who own their land, who own their cooperative, and own their product all the way to the final destination, and the empowerment that brings for rural farmers in Latin America. That, you know, the contrary to that, we studied, you know, that, and then the flip side was kind of bananas. And we, you know, for those who know the history of banana republics and just how, like, banana in large multinational corporations have kind of, you know, they control the land, they control the shipping, they control, I mean, back in the day, they controlled the country, right? They planted their politicians, right? So they owned all segments of society. And whereas, you know, these democratically controlled coffee cooperatives really empower small farmers, and they keep those farmers on their land. They you know, empower them. They give them a good return on their product. So those are the farmers that we're really committed to supporting. And, you know, in a lot of countries, and you probably have seen this in El Salvador, even in the coffee sector, there is really intense poverty, that there has been a lot of exploitation of coffee farmers, coffee, you know, the workers, the laborers who work on the farms. And that has been, you know, remnants of colonial power structures that persist till today. So part of, you know, what we work towards is balancing out those power structures, making sure farmers are getting their fair shake. We work directly with them. We travel constantly. Nick, our director of coffee, was just down in Nicaragua, Honduras, and Guatemala, visiting with the farmers, setting up the terms for next year's harvest. You know, our hopes and their hopes, and sharing, you know, what we're all trying to get out of this mutually beneficial trade. And we have these relationships for years and years. So yeah, at the core of our business is really those relationships with the farmers and our commitment to them.
I could talk coffee for 2 hours with TJ here. We're talking to TJ Simanchin, president and CEO of Wonder State Coffee in Wisconsin. But just one more, and then we'll kind of move on to the tariffs and USAID type of things. But just, again, to put a fine point on this, TJ, because, you know, we tried to do something similar to what in our little coffee business, what you guys have done very successfully at Wonder State, which was to put the emphasis on the farmer. And ultimately, for the reasons you just stated and more, that requires that you probably are going to have to charge more than, say, hey, a Folgers or whatever. And I'm not here to hate on anybody, but I think it's important for you just to talk a little bit about, there are different levels of coffee, and if you buy low quality coffee, it could taste like crap, especially if it's prepared poorly. But if you buy higher quality coffee, which is oftentimes found in higher elevations in more rural areas, to your point, where where the producer doesn't even have a car or truck to get their lot to market on the coast. And so what happens is, and I'll just pick on the big one, and not to say that there aren't good things about it in some ways, but you have a Starbucks who will go up way up on the mountain and give that farmer the lowest price for the highest quality of coffee. And so then you have things like Cup of Excellence who allow farmers to have their really good coffee exposed to more buyers, and that gives the power back to the farmer. And so that's why it's important, in my opinion, to buy coffee at a couple of bucks higher from people like Wonder State, because ultimately you're empowering the farmer. Am I wrong about that?
You stated it perfectly. Yeah, you're gonna be our spokesman. That was perfect. So how critical it is to, you know, our part of our vision is we love good coffee. You know, we are we just love tasting things. We love the enjoyment of it, the morning cup, and have it be elevated, really treating it as a specialty beverage.
Yes.
You know, that folks get this, right? Like, we know that sometimes you buy a $10 bottle of wine and sometimes a $30, or right. You buy your microbrewery, you know, brewed beer, and right, that these come with an additional cost because they're higher quality, right? And coffee is in that same realm as a specialty beverage, you know, that it can be elevated. It could be an elevated experience, something that there's just really amazing nuanced flavors in the cup. And to pull that off, the farmers have to work a lot harder and be really intentional. And so we want to be right there with those farmers, especially those farmers who historically haven't had access to the market, haven't had access to the techniques and the post-harvest processing that results in this high quality. We want to work with them and build their capacity so they can keep getting a higher and higher price for their product and keep improving the livelihoods of their families. That's really at the core of this, is, you know, trying to support farmers who are, you know, just trying to improve their lives.
About 2.5 minutes left before our first break, TJ. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, we look at what's happening with the Trump tariffs, and you think, well, that's happening in other places. Tell folks a little bit how this is affecting people in the Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin, particularly folks like yourselves at Wonder State who deal with commodities.
Yeah. So, I mean, wow, it's really brutal. It's brutal. I mean, what's happening for small businesses? I mean, these tariffs are directly hitting us, right? This is who pays for it. It's the businesses who are buying these products from, I mean, literally, I am the guy who pays the tariff.
Yep.
Right. I mean, it is a direct increased cost of business. It's a tax. It's across the board. All of our coffee right now, you know, 2 weeks ago is between 10 and 28% with the reciprocal tariffs. But right now, all of our coffee is going to get hit with a 10% tariff tax.
Wow.
That's just a boom, unexpected increased cost of business. Mm-hmm. I need to go out and find financing for that. I have to pay for that tariff upfront before we sell it to the end consumer, right? I got to come up with that cash. And so that's a scenario of, you know, our whole product line is from something that we import, something that cannot be grown in any volume in the United States. Between Hawaii and Puerto Rico, the US produces like less than a half of a percent of the world's production. Yeah. There's no way to replace coffee domestically, right? Yeah, it is a product that grows in the tropics, and we have to import it. And so, you know, that's a heavy hit for us. But, you know, I have been hearing stories of other small businesses who are just mom and pop shops who came up with a good idea and they brought a product to market. And where was that only place in the world that product could be produced at a lower volume is China.
Yeah.
Right. And they've set up a relationship with a manufacturer in China. Right. But these are U.S. businesses, U.S. families who are just facing a decimatingly high level of tariffs.
We're talking to TJ Samanchin of Wonder State Coffee. We'll come back and continue our conversation. If you have a question, give us a call at 855-752-4842. As they said one time on SNL, it's coffee talk. Come on back. No big whoop.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like Metro Life. professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, or what we thought was precedent, is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Welcome back to the Tahoe Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. They have coffee in Brazil. They also have coffee in Viroqua and in Bayfield and in Madison. Other places as well. We can get it at Wonder State Coffee. The president and CEO of the company, TJ Sumanchin, is our guest this half hour. TJ, great to have you along. We were geeking out about coffee over the break. I mean, it's just, I think when you talk to somebody else who gets coffee, it's just like you can go on and on because, yeah. And people who haven't had the privilege to be in that position, it's like, what do you get so excited about coffee for? It's like, because it's so cool.
Right. Although, who doesn't? I mean, we all, like 70 some percent of Americans drink coffee daily. Mm-hmm. So once we get on this topic, I think we're actually in good company. I think people love talking about coffee.
No, they do.
It's a common denominator. You know, we all enjoy it.
Yeah, it really is. TJ and Wonder State are part of Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin, talking a little bit about tariffs. I want to talk about some of the things in the USAID as well. But did I miss anything, TJ? Is there anything that you want to pass on to folks, either about the coffee industry or about small mom and pop businesses in general in Wisconsin on tariffs?
Yeah. I'm really, really concerned about a lot of our fellow small businesses. I think we're going to see if this continues, and again, it's changes day by day, so you don't know, you know, what the administration is going to do. But if it continues right now, we're going to see businesses just go under without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Small businesses are not going to be able who are dependent on imports and are being required to pay these tariffs up front, they're not going to have the cash, and this is going to put them under. So I'm really, really concerned about that.
And we talked about this when we were up in Viroqua at your cafe up there. I mean, Wonder State's a kind of place. I mean, you're providing health care. You're providing some of these benefits to your employees in small towns and large all across Wisconsin. We hear people say, well, we want employers to take care of our employees. Here's a place in Wonder State that's doing that. So now you're doing that, but now you're also having to pay for this tariff, and you have to make tough choices about how you're going to treat your employees. Ultimately, this is going to get passed on to the consumer if people want the companies to keep taking care of their employees.
Yeah. I mean, we can't bear, just a 10% increase on, and we're also, I want to be clear too, we're in a moment, we're at historically high coffee prices.
Yes.
So this is a multiplier effect of something that has already really hit our industry. We just increased prices. We had to. And this, in a way, this is a win for the farmers.
Right.
That music piece in the break, a lot of coffee in Brazil. Yeah. Well, for the past few years, largely because of climate disruptions, there hasn't been as much coffee in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And that has caused a supply crunch. So the commodity market for coffee is at historic highs.
Right.
So these tariffs are coming on top of that. The market was below $2 a pound. This is commodity, commercial grade coffee, below $2 a pound. And it just peaked over $4. So the tariff is hitting us at 10%, right? If it was at $2, that's a 20-cent per pound tariff. Now it's a 40-cent per pound. I mean, so this is just terrible timing.
And we don't have time to necessarily get all into this, but just yes or not, more than yes or no, but make sure I'm correct. Everything you just said, and then put on to that climate change where some of the coffee in some of these places is developing something called coffee rust, and they're having to go to higher altitudes and in some cases relocate farms. And that also is driving up prices, right?
Exactly. It's just harder for farmers to grow coffee for a lot of reasons. Climate change is the driving, but there's also political instability. You mentioned things like USAID, farmers need support in getting their product to market. They need the infrastructure, they need the marketing, and so you need the institutions that can support these farmers in doing that. So it's just getting harder and harder by the day. And that's putting a downward pressure on supply.
About 3.5 minutes left, TJ. Talk about what you just said. USAID, we hear a lot about the tariffs, what's going on there. Talk about the impact that the Trump administration's cuts and basically getting rid of USAID, U.S. Agency for International Development, what that is doing to the coffee industry and around the world.
Yeah, this is such a short-sighted policy. It is so brutal, and to be doing it so fast and furious. So USAID, I honestly don't know of a farmer that we work with that has not in some way benefited from USAID support. And that could be support with technical assistance in the field, support with marketing. USAID has taken coffee professionals and hooked them up with up-and-coming producer groups to help them draw that link of how to market to their coffee to the international market. And these are not huge spends. These are low. This is a couple plane ticket kind of things for professionals to come and share their expertise with farmers that are working hard, try bringing their product to market. And these are in areas of the world that are politically unstable. We're talking about the DRC in Africa and Ethiopia, Colombia, Southern Mexico, places where if there's not stable options for farmers, this is where they get pushed into narco trafficking. Yeah. This is where they get pushed into extremist groups, jihadist groups, potentially in Africa. These are the places where, as the social fabric kind of falls apart, these bad actors can come and prey on them. And I see it. I see it in Colombia. When prices are down, I see that farmers rip out their coffee trees and they put in coca. And as soon as they do that, you're bringing in the bad actors. Those communities then have guns, they have violence, they have all the things that brings with it. So USAID has provided a platform for stability. It has provided a platform for companies like us to find those farmers and to buy from them. It's not charity. This is just infrastructure support. And this is as critical as like building a road from your port so that you can get your product out, right? I mean, these are things that we take for granted that we have a lot of support here in the US for this, but in other countries, small rural farmers don't have access and no know-how of how to get their product to the international market.
TJ Samanchin, Wonder State Coffee, I cannot thank you enough for taking time for us. Very educational. On the bottom of each bag of Wonder State Coffee, it says, "Stay curious," which I think is exactly where we need to be right now as a country. And if you want to buy a product that is curious, but also has a social conscience and just is the best coffee around, for my money, Wonder State.
Appreciate it, Todd.
Hey, no, appreciate you. Thank you, TJ. Thank you very much from Main Street Alliance. Come on back. We'll do a little What's the Worst next on the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A man was injured in a UTV crash over the weekend. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports that at approximately 3:45 Sunday afternoon, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center was notified of the crash on private property along North Glass Road in rural Reedstown in the town of Kickapoo. Chad Laverne Crook, 52, of rural Reedstown, was operating the UTV and struck a fence. The UTV overturned and Crook was ejected. Chad Crook sustained serious injuries and was flown to the Gunderson Health System by Gunderson Air. Also assisting the Sheriff's Office were Reedstown Emergency Medical Service, Reedstown Fire Department, and Wisconsin State Patrol. All emergency personnel were clear from the scene by 5:15. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds turkey hunters that the 2025 spring turkey season opens Wednesday. The regular season is open through May 27th, and all 7 turkey management zones will be open for hunting during the spring season. Hunters must bring their spring turkey license, wild turkey stamp, and wild harvest authorization with them while hunting. They are encouraged to review the turkey hunting regulations in the fall 2024 spring 2025 combined hunting regulations before heading into the field. Turkey harvest registration is mandatory and remains a critical component of turkey management in Wisconsin. Hunters must register their turkey by 5 p.m. the day after recovery, online or by phone at 844-426-3734. To register, hunters will need the harvest authorization number found on the paper or electronic harvest authorization. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite the risk of getting vomited on or having a soda thrown at them, audiences still continue to flood theaters to see the Minecraft movie. It was tops at the box office for the second week in a row. According to Variety, the film showed an impressive hold in its second week, with the crowd size diminishing by only 50% in its impressive second week. The film is now at $281 million domestically and $550 million globally. Minecraft was the only movie that was not a new release in the top five. Coming in at second place was the religious film King of Kings, which brought in almost $20 million just a week before Easter. 20th Century Fox's The Amateur came in third place with $15 million. A24's Warfare came in fourth place with a take of about $8.5 million. The film received rave reviews from critics and is beyond intense. And the thriller Drop came in fifth place with $7.5 million at the gate. In case you're scoring at home, the movie with the worst critic score was in first place, and four critics' darlings rounded out the top five. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With more and more sunshine today and breezy winds still whipping us out of the northwest, gusting around 35 miles per hour, high temperatures still stay mild in the mid-50s. With a high-pressure system settling in tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny, calm, and comfortable with highs at about 60. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
New texter on our text line said this: I think any other president would take these protests very seriously, but our current one couldn't care less. Anybody remember, Nero fiddling while Rome burned? You get a little of that vibe here? The man's off golfing over the weekend as the world economy is lit on fire and nosediving. Can't be bothered.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Joining us on the show, Representative Mark Pocan. Just a couple of things going on in Washington that we'll be kicking around. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, even to a coffee cup, and having fun doing it. See, that was a part of the fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on Civic Media, 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Just think, Summers, a week from tomorrow, we'll just be getting ready for the show.
You're right. Well, I hope we're more than just starting to get ready at this time. But
well, let's be honest. It might just be starting to get ready.
Yeah, probably.
No worry, if you haven't heard, we're moving. Moving a couple hours to 2 o'clock, starting next Wednesday. So starting next Wednesday, you can hear us every afternoon from 2 until 4. And the reason is because Zomers and I need more sleep.
I did. We didn't plan this, but I did yawn right as he was saying that. I didn't know that's what he was going
to
say.
Yeah, exactly. Many thanks to TJ Samanchin from Wonder State Coffee. How about that guy? Fantastic.
Fantastic. Really, yes, fantastic. Absolutely.
One of our listeners, who and where is it from again? I'm sorry. Deerfield. Beautiful Deerfield, Wisconsin. Larry in Deerfield says, hi, Todd. What Wonder State coffee beans do you recommend? I'm planning on ordering. Look, I'll simply say, just since you asked, what's in my cup, and normally what I have, I buy a whole bean, and I have the Agua Blanca from Colombia. Colombian coffee, and what's the cool thing is, and other places do this as well, higher-end coffee roasters, but a Wonder State, they'll give you, like, what notes each coffee, just like wine. Because if you buy high-end coffee, as TJ was saying, each one has a unique flavor profile. And just like you have people, was it Salmonet, or whatever the, for the wine taster.
Sommelier.
That's it. We're not that fancy back where I'm from, but yes, sommelier. There's 160 some different flavors, profiles in wine. Exact same thing in coffee, but 162 different natural flavors in coffee. The reason people that say, well, I never tasted that, is because a lot of places will buy low-end coffee that naturally tastes bad, and to cover that up, they burn the coffee. And when you burn coffee, when you roast it, whole bean, it turns that really dark, shiny color. But through really great marketing, coffee companies have convinced the consumer, oh, if it's dark and shiny, it has lots of caffeine in it, and it will make you wired. And so they come up with great marketing gimmicks. If you see coffee that's shiny, it looks oily and like dark, that is bad, over-roasted, burnt coffee. And it's going to taste bitter, and it's going to taste like charcoal, because that's basically what they've done to it. Properly roasted coffee is going to have a matte finish on it. It's going to look brown, all right? Brown and a matte finish. And then if you properly grind it and then properly prepare it, here's a little tip for home coffee roasters. Water. Because guess what? Coffee in your cup is 98% water. So either use like a zero water or whatever, or bottled water or something like that. Don't use tap water when you make coffee at home.
That's huge. That was one thing. Yeah. When I worked at Starbucks, they really emphasized, we have, I don't remember how many times, like 5 times filtered water or something, right, to have super clear water to make their coffee, because that's what most of it is.
Right. So water is very important, but then buy from roasters that do it right like that. And so if you buy coffee like that and prepare it properly and you kind of train your palate, you can sometimes taste a fruit flavor, whether it's nectarine or raspberry or other flavors, brown sugar, straw, on and on, brown, you know, all these natural flavors in coffee. And so just like you have a sommelier in wine, in coffee, it's called a Q cupper. And don't ask me why, but it's called a Q cupper. And you go through all this training and you have to have somewhat of a natural palate, just like in wine. And these people will sip, they have competitions and they sip the coffee. And you say, well, how can they sip all that coffee? There's a spittoon next to them, and they have it on a tablespoon or a teaspoon, and they put it up to their lips, and they suck it in because they want the air and the coffee to hit all of their taste buds. And so it sounds like birds. They go, psh, psh, psh. And they suck it in, they swirl around, and they spit it out. They don't actually drink all that coffee. And so that's how you grade coffee properly, and you come up with the different notes and things like that. So there's everything and more you ever wanted to know about coffee. Larry in Deerfield says, my daughter uses a conical grinder. Is that what you mean by proper grinding? Yeah, it's a burr grinder. So that means that it looks like gears inside the grinder. I used to tell people you could use like a general like spice grinder with one blade that just goes around. Hey, that's better than nothing. But yes, a conical burr grinder has generally three different gears, it looks like, that grind the coffee, and you can set it and adjust it. So, you know, we can geek out on coffee. 855-752-4842. Let's go to L.A. Tom quickly. We got to get to what's worse. L.A., what do you got for us?
Well, I just want to say that what a great education about coffee, and also I think just small mom and pop businesses, not the big corporations that call themselves small businesses. But I wanted to report that 12,500 people in Idaho showed up last night for AOC and Bernie's Fight the Oligarchy tour. I'd really recommend to anyone, if you have the Midas touch or just check it out online, check out her speech. Her voice is really becoming her voice now, and it's pretty exciting. So I hope everyone checks it out.
Thanks, L.A. Appreciate you checking in. Have a great day out there on the beautiful West Coast. Chris Casper, one of our great engineers, checking in on YouTube, saying, I like non-shiny beans. Same with me, Casper. Ethiopian is his favorite. Very close second are all these Central American coffees. Yeah, very close. I would probably, just my personal bias, I'd probably reverse that. I'm probably more into more fruit-flavored, slightly sweeter, slightly less acidic Central American, but there's a lot of great Ethiopian coffees. We were talking to TJ during the break, another great roaster, not in Wisconsin, but out in Los Angeles, Blue Bottle. And one time I got an Ethiopian from Blue Bottle and did a pour over, and you would swear that somebody had taken a teaspoon of strawberry jam and mixed it around. It was that, even a person, I'm not a Q-cupper I'm not certified to grade coffee, but even somebody like me, I'd be, whoa, it's like that is amazing. And that was an Ethiopian. So very good. 855-752-4842. Quickly, Mark in Prayer to Sack. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, getting back to the whole Trump thing, that they quote from the Declaration of Independence, I think, has tried to Trump now for a long reason, that our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. I'm just appalled at the fact that the Republicans en masse, you know, as most of the Democrats have been not condemning Donald Trump's comment about, I don't give FCC non-compliant word inserted here, that he could round up American citizens and ship them to El Salvador and probably without trial and all that, and they're not actually just coming out and condemning that. If Biden would have operated in that fashion, you know, that's taking these powers that Trump has assumed that he has, you know, Donald Trump's ass would be, you know, in some very unpleasant place, like perhaps duplicating the cell of little E's in the Tower of London.
It's a great part, great point, Mark. I appreciate you calling a couple of segments back, but yeah, that White House meeting yesterday with Bukele, that was of all the meetings, that was one of them. All right, 43 minutes past the hour, time for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money to give away, nothing involved in terms of monetary benefit, but it is your chance to hear your voice heard across all 11 news talk sports stations in the Civic Media Network, largest privately owned network in the state of Wisconsin. No better chance and no better way to have your business heard than advertising here on Civic Media. Go to civicmedia.us to find out how. All right, this is a timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say, because I'm not sure. Good gosh, Albert's got the hiccups. That's what I get for eating a salted chocolate junk cookie on the air.
But they're so good.
I'm not sure about you, but you know, living alone, I like to cook. I just don't like to cook for myself. But when I do, I feel like, well, okay, now I gotta, you know, I'll cook and I'll have leftovers for a couple of days. But then you're like, all right, I don't like chili. I'll make a pot of chili and eat on that for a week. I'm fine with that. But then other things, it's like, you know, after a couple of days, I'm done with it. So here now, today's category, leftovers or throwing out leftovers. What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse? Leftovers or throwing out leftovers? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, get it today. It is free, takes less than a minute to download. Go to your app store on your Apple or Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Just download it, and you're set to go. How about that? What's worse, leftovers or throwing out leftovers? Zombers, this is where I struggle with sometimes. I really do because I'll make it. And then after a couple of days, I'm like, maybe I'll make some chicken. And it'll be like 4 days. But it's been in the refrigerator. And I've eaten that for like 2 or 3 days.
Right.
And like there's a couple of other pieces of chicken left. I don't really want to put it in the freezer. But I feel guilty about throwing it away.
Yeah. I agree. I think throwing away, yeah, it's tough. It depends what the leftovers are and how much you have.
Right.
Because again, if you're eating the same thing all week, that can get pretty old.
Right.
Especially when reheated in the microwave and then, you know, and then, chilled again and then reheated again.
Right. And then, of course, you know, you're flipping through channels and you see the ads for, you know, starving Ethiopian children.
Right.
And you think, well, I mean, they would love this. I mean, here I am. I'm a glutton. How lucky am I to have this surplus? And what, I'm going to throw this out in the garbage while there's kids starving across the world?
So, yeah, I think I got to say throwing out leftovers is worse. And also, not only that, but if you forget about something and you have it stuck in the back of the fridge and it gets moldy,
and then you got to throw it out.
You got to throw it out. And that also sucks. It's like, okay, do I even open this to check if it's moldy or do I just assume and
throw out the whole container?
No, you got to throw out the whole container at that point.
Matt in Middleton on the text line, WMDX says, throwing out leftovers is worse. I hate wasting food and feel foolish for making too much. And he goes on to say, leftover food is toxic. Well, I mean, yes. I mean, if you let it go too far, it certainly can be, right? What else we have here? Matt, I guess. That was something else. Kurt in Madison says on WMDX, I always feel guilty and disgusted with myself when I have to throw away leftovers.
He's also called in.
Oh, very good. Kurt's on the line. 855-752-4842. Kurt, I guess we kind of already gave him away, but leftovers or throwing out leftovers? What's worse?
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Called it. One of the things I do, because you're right, there's only two of us in our house. It's very difficult to cook for one, even two people. So what I typically do is I make sure I have a good network of friends in the neighborhood.
Oh.
And the minute I have something in excess, like chili,
yep.
I sent out group text saying, chili available. Now I'm a very good cook, so people usually take me up.
I love it. That's
out of the rut of throwing stuff away.
Now, see, I had a big bag of curd yesterday. I wasn't going to eat all that myself, so I brought it into the office, and people devoured it because it's fantastic.
It was delicious.
And from Car Valley, fresh cheese curd. Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Dick in Madison. Dick, 30 seconds. Leftovers or throwing out leftovers? What's worse?
Well, throwing out, because in my case, they usually are science fair projects by the time they throw them out.
You're saying you're not the best cook? Is that it?
Just that they're old and get moldy?
What?
You know, I tend to bury stuff in the refrigerator, and I forget about it.
Like a fossil. I get it. Yeah, stay tuned. Back to wrap it up after this. Don't go anywhere on the All Ball Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A North Carolina Supreme Court candidate who lost by 734 votes and refused to concede got help from the state appeals and Supreme Courts in his partisan battle to invalidate as many as 65,000 voters. His case is now back in federal court. April 4th, the North Carolina Appeals Court, on which Judge Jefferson Griffin currently sits, supported Griffin's position that 60,000 voters were never properly registered and that as many as 5,000 military and overseas voters didn't supply ID when they registered to receive their special mail-in UOKAVA ballots. April 11th, the North Carolina Supreme Court allowed the 60,000 voters to stand, but gave the approximately 5,000 military and overseas voters only 30 days to provide missing information or be disqualified, and a federal judge ordered that the race not be certified. April 12th, the League of Women Voters filed a federal class action lawsuit on behalf of those military and overseas voters. Griffin's opponent, State Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs, appealed in federal district court April 14th. In a blistering dissent in the state Supreme Court decision, Justice Anita Earls wrote, "Some would call it stealing the election, others might call it a bloodless coup, but by whatever name, no amount of smoke and mirrors makes it legitimate." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're in tune with. Check of weather with our great weather team, Mike Clemens. Who is better at sports than Mike Clemens? Answer, nobody. Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, will be in with a sports update talking about the Brewers. Sommers went down and tried to help them out last night. Didn't work out too well. But they're back on track today, the Brewers are. You can listen to them across the Civic Media Network starting at 6:05 for the pregame show in the old RC hometown of Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward over the air. Starting at 6:05, Brewers against the Detroit Tigers. And then, of course, after the sports update, Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show. Following us here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and later on, Pete Schwabba at 6 o'clock, 6 until 8, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Asking the important question of the day, what's worse, leftovers or throwing out leftovers? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Off the text line here, Steve, listening on the great station, WGBW, up in Green. By the way, Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich is going to be on the show tomorrow. I'm very, very excited about this. So we'll be talking to Mayor Genrich tomorrow, who is there in Green Bay. But Steve in Green Bay says the only way I'm throwing out leftovers is if they're moldy. And here's something I learned from the great master cheesemaker Sid Cook at Car Valley Cheese. That if you get like a block of cheese and there's a little bit of mold on one end or a corner, just cut that little part off. The rest of it's fine.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't mean that mold is part of a natural enzyme or whatever. And if the mold's all the way through the block or whatever, then that's one thing. But if there's just because what happens is that if we open a block of cheese and cut it and we touch it with our fingers, the natural, whatever you want to call it, bacteria on our fingers, if our hands aren't
just freshly washed, that goes on the cheese. That's what grows the mold.
And news so you can use.
Yeah, so you just cut that little piece off. The rest of the cheese is fine. And listening in Chippewa Falls at WAUK, throwing out leftovers instead is worse. John, listening on WISS in Oshkosh, throwing away leftovers is way worse. We eat them for a day, then freeze them. A lot of things are better left over anyway. Agree with that, John. I particularly like chili on day number two. I think we already did Matt in Middleton. What else we got here? DJ in the Saw in Wausau, listening on WXCO, says throwing out leftovers is way worse. I hate wasting food. If my wife brings something home and is uneaten after 24 hours, it's mine. Seeing people literally starving in other places scared me for life. So how about that? That's a good one. David New Berlin, throwing out leftovers is worse. Not only does it keep the grocery bill down, but as you just said, there are people going hungry. Yeah, I totally. Len in Madison on WMDX, don't throw out leftovers. Deposit them in your pass-through account. Okay, very good. Listener in Maguanago. I love saying that. In W listing on WAUK in Maguanago, by 4 days, your food is forming toxins. Throw it out. Well, okay. Maybe on everything, though? I don't know. Maybe. Diane in Madison on MDX, food is so expensive. Cook what you will eat and try not to waste. And finally, Tom out in LA, Tom in Los Angeles, throwing out leftovers is worst and wasteful. Oh, I'm sorry. Dick in Madison, I apologize. I was going to go through all the texts and I was going to finish up, let Dick have the last word.
Well, we did have his call already last segment.
Oh, all right.
Also,
see, I got it's the mad cow.
Eric Genrich is actually joining us on Thursday, not tomorrow.
Oh, really? All right. Well, speaking of mad cow, I can't remember. This is why I surround myself with people younger than myself. But he will be here Thursday.
Yes.
Tomorrow we've got Trygve Olsen, and then we've got the folks from the new group here in Wisconsin getting fusion voting going. Former Democratic Sheriff of Dane County, Dave Mahoney, and my former boss, Dale Schultz, a Republican, and Chris Andrews, the executive director, all are going to be here talking about fusion voting. And I believe Trygve Olsen may grace us with his presence as well. So that'll be a lot of fun. Great show tomorrow. Great show today, Zomers. Did you already say what you thought was worse? Leftovers or throwing out leftovers?
Yeah, I got to agree with the crowd on this one that throwing out leftovers is worse just because it's wasteful and can also be disgusting if you've accidentally left them in the back of the fridge.
Yeah, we're in agreement on this one. I would say throwing out leftovers is worse. Just the guilt for me. And also, I don't know. I think because I really don't mind leftovers unless it's really like, I don't know. But see, chili, I literally can eat chili every day for 4 days and be fine with that.
Well, yeah, especially because as it sits for another day in the fridge, I feel like the flavors get more intense.
Yeah, totally agree with that. So, all right, throwing out leftovers, that's what's worse. Join us tomorrow for another exciting edition of What's Worse. Great show, fun show today, Zomers, I thought. That was great. Pat Kreitlow, always fantastic to have him on. And then you got TJ's Samantian, and we get to talk coffee. I mean, I hate to quote Jim Harbaugh, former coach of Michigan, and now with the whatever they're called, the Raiders out in the desert. But I mean, he likes to say, you know, what is it? Who has it better than us? And then he says, nobody. I mean, come on. Who has it better than us? We get to come on the air, talk to people about coffee and life and listen. I mean, who has it better than us? Nobody.
I look forward to the next time you get to have a nice in-depth coffee discussion with somebody because that's very interesting. I, and obviously several of the listeners who commented, really enjoy hearing about that.
I think it's fun, and we want to do more of this as we move forward, talk to other business owners. Many thanks to Main Street Alliance as well for helping us set TJ up, and our very own Mr. Luke Mathers as well. Fun show today. Glad to have you all along. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next. Todd Lawball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll live to fight another day. We'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day. Make it a good one.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight from the Green Bay Children's Museum, our friend Heather Heil joins me in studio for some fun Northeast Wisconsin chat and a quiz she no doubt will ace. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas, health officials confirming 20 more measles cases since Friday. That's a total of 561 cases in the state. The majority of cases, those who are unvaccinated or vaccination status is unknown. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. attended the funeral of one of the two children who died in Texas. Both were unvaccinated.
Healthy children should not die of measles, and there's no reason they should. If the doctors know how to treat at the hospital, that will not happen.
RFK Jr., who's expressed skepticism in vaccines over the decades, now urging people to get vaccinated. There are more than 700 measles cases nationwide. A judge has denied bail for the suspect in the firebomb attack on Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro's residence, Cody Ballmer being held on charges including arson and attempted murder. In New York City, jury selection beginning today in the newest sex assault trial of movie mogul Harvey Weinstein. He's pleaded not guilty to charges. This is ABC News.